Welcome to Leadership for Tomorrow, starting now, the podcast designed to inspire and empower leaders to act today for a better tomorrow.
Whether you are just starting out or aiming to level up, we are here to help you grow, connect, and make an impact.
Join us for engaging stories, practical tips, and endless inspiration to fuel your leadership journey.
Discover how you can make a difference, starting right now. Caleb Lindsay is a dedicated student veteran and leader in the field of organizational leadership at the University of Wyoming at Casper. Caleb is not only committed to his own academic and professional growth, but also to empowering fellow veterans as they transition into civilian life. As a leader within the Student Veterans of America SVA chapter, Caleb brings a unique passion for advocacy and support, working tirelessly to foster a welcoming and supportive environment for veterans. Leveraging his knowledge in organizational dynamics and leadership strategies, he is on a mission to drive impactful change within the veteran community. Caleb Lindsay is one of 32 student veterans in the United States to receive a 2023 Student Veteran Leadership Award.
So hello everybody, welcome. I'm Hugo Santos. I'm a lecturer here at the University of Wyoming at Casper.
And here's my co-host. Hello everyone, I'm Rochelle Green. I'm the director of our organizational leadership program.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Here you go. So today we have Caleb Lindsay.
Caleb, thank you for your service. So what branch of service were you in? And then second to that, what have your college pursuits been so far?
So I was in the Army for about a little over three years, a little shy of four, mm-hmm. actually, so not over 3 years, but and then my associate's degree is in graphic design, and then now I am an organizational leadership student with you both as my instructors.
How has your experience been?
I talked about this a little bit with Hugo earlier. Like, I changed over from art school in December, so it's been interesting seeing the different aspects, but it's awesome that I'm able to directly apply that into the organization that I'm doing within the school.
So, Caleb, I just want to ask you, let's start the conversation with what inspired you to go into, to pursue organizational leadership?
Yeah, so I was inspired by my own fall flat on the face moment. When I first got out of the Army in 2018, I tried to go to nursing school. And I tried to do it online here at Casper College. While I lived in Mississippi, and I fell flat on my face. I failed out of almost every class. I remember dissecting a pig on the back porch when my roommate came home one day, and he was like, "What's going on?" But I had that fall flat on the moment, flat on my face moment, and I just, when I came back to school again after COVID and after some contracting overseas, I knew I didn't want that for anybody else, and I didn't want it for myself, most of all. And so I gave myself a reason to stay active with school. And so I went through the art program, like I mentioned, the graphic design program over at Casper College. And while I was doing that, I had some extra time, and I was able to dedicate to making a meaningful community for other veterans as well as selfishly myself. So it was almost... Actually, selfishly, as I'm saying it out loud, I wanted it for myself, and it just happened to work out for everybody else.
Ooh, so when you said that you had some fall on your face moments when you were doing the online nursing, what do you think contributed to that coming out of the service and then mm-hmm. straight into a degree?
Like that.
So in the service, we have a community, and you're next, live next door to the guys that you're serving with that are in your platoon. I was combat arms, so... These are the guys that I'm going to war with. And that community, it was there, but I didn't know it was there. And I didn't fight to find it. And I think that was a big part of it. I have my roommate I served with, but other than that, I didn't have that community. I didn't know it was there, and I didn't have people to fall back on when I was struggling to pick me up and throw a tourniquet on my leg and keep pushing me forward. And so I think that was one of my biggest contributors to my moment.
Go from having such a tight-knit military family to not as many of those supports that were as obvious.
So with that sense of like looking for community, looking for support, how did you end up with the relationship with the Student Veterans of America?
They were here. Dr. Nick Whips is a big piece of that. I came, as I mentioned, I did some overseas contracting, and I was in Afghanistan for about 8 months, and I came home in May and landed, and I was like, I need something to do because I'm not going to sit around my house. And so I went in and I talked to Nick, and he got me set up with classes, and then he's like, hey, I got this club over here you can take part in. And I was like, okay. And then he just was like, oh, by the way, you're the new PR officer. And so he trusted me, and that's what got me connected with the SVA National. And it's really kind of flourished from there. It was kind of innocent at first, and then now it's awesome. I get to travel around the country to different places to work with them. So
I heard you just came back from DC, right?
Yes, so I did the Leadership Institute, which actually I kind of missed this question earlier, how I got onto the organizational leadership track. It had to do with LI last year. I was a student last year, and I went. I was still an art student, and I went in there, and I knew what I wanted to do at that point. I knew that I wanted to get into policy, and I wanted to change the outlook of transitioning veterans. But I was doing that under an art degree, and I knew people, I mean, they might, but the likelihood of people listening to somebody with an art degree is a little less than if they had a degree that was a little more based in what I wanted to do. And so I had had those thoughts beforehand, and then I went, and it was just so impactful and kind of pushing me to reach my potential and kind of set a brand for myself that I, while I was there, I called Nick Whips again, and I said, hey, Nick, I'm changing my major. And he said, cool, what to? I said, organizational leadership. I need you to put me in contact with Rochelle. And so by the time I got done with that Leadership Institute, those 4 days, I had called Nick and started the shift of changing my degree. I decided to finish the associates, but that was what got me onto the organizational leadership track, is through that Leadership Institute that I got to go back to this year as a senior fellow and have a cohort of 25 people that I got to talk to.
Wow, that's amazing.
Super awesome.
That is amazing. So you founded the SVA chapter for UW-Casper. So you said you had done some work with SVA through Casper College. How did that like help you to create a vision? Is there kind of a different vision for this chapter?
There's a little bit of a different vision itself, but a lot of my experiences there I've been able to pull from over at this new chapter. The vision that we had there was students in general, the population of student veterans and their dependents. But now with UWC being primarily online with the organizational leadership program, and a lot of the programs we have here, our focus is that. So it's different and there's new grounds, but the base level of knowledge is what really kind of pushed me to a point where I am able to mold and adapt with the changing environment that we're going for.
And how many older veterans you work with in here?
We have, I believe it's 30.
Yeah, we're around 30. We have about that right now.
Yeah, we have 30 that are our target audience. Mm-hmm. and then we have about, I'd say 10 that are regular that I work with within our campus. And we're working to move that number up. I think one of the things that I talked about at Casper College a lot, and I think it's the case here, is people see the veteran name and they think it's just for the veterans. But we want to expand that to the family as well. In fact, I heard when I was in Washington, D.C., somebody said, I hate the term dependent, because it makes it feel like they're dependent on them. And so I'm working to find a different term mm-hmm. where we can include them with our group. But as well as that, I think there's a large population of veterans who don't identify as veterans. And just finding a way that we can communicate with them mm-hmm. and get them involved so that they can be proud of their service and take advantage of the resources that we can connect them with and the opportunities and the growth options. Big companies want to hire veterans, and making that connection for them is one of my favorite things to do. Challenges that we face, that I've faced, is getting people involved. I mentioned earlier the unidentified veterans and family members. I can't figure out why, but they don't want to identify with it. They don't want to be known as a veteran, and I think you should be proud of it. I always tell people, this is another challenge. A lot of people come out of the military still wearing their rank, and they want to wear that around, or their new titles, or different things. And I always tell people, and I told people when I was in Washington, D.C. this couple weeks ago, when you come into this cohort room and I put a basket by the door, I said, take off your rank, off your titles, it all goes there. Don't forget about them, because that's something to be proud of. Mm-hmm. Know where you are and what change you can make, but take that off and leave it there, and don't let it get in the way of your ability to collaborate and have a meaningful relationship with everybody in your team.
How do you balance everything, right? The challenges, your goals, like what direction are you, what is your main vision for the organization within the next years?
So I balance everything by giving value to it, and I think that's what gets a lot of people going. I heard it from a class with Rochelle from, what was that book? I think it was
Atomic Habits. Value. It's like everyone's favorite book.
Value is my favorite thing to add to people, and I feel like it can be financial or it can be meaningful in the sense of leadership and whatnot. So I'm able to do this by adding. You may not be part of the executive council of the chapter, but you're still a leader within the chapter. How I do that is giving liaison positions, and then it also gives me an opportunity to hear from somebody's perspective that isn't in the direct position of myself or anybody else in the executive council. So like, there's a student start next year in the fall, and I want to put him as a liaison to National Guard students because he is in the National Guard. And he's able to pull from his experience and be able to say, hey, this is what can help us, our category of the students that are here. And so I'm giving him that leadership opportunity, which gives him value because he feels valued in the organization, valued and heard. And so that's how I'm able to manage it. And then my goals, right? Goals that I want to see in the next 2 to 5 years, right? That's what we're looking at. I want to see this chapter go beyond and continue to grow after I'm gone. I mentioned that we're an online chapter, which is growing, but there's not very many of them in the SVA system. And so I'm working side by side with the SVA as well with another organization that I call... But it's a virtual student veterans leadership exchange mm-hmm. is effectively what it is. And so what we're doing is building a platform for these different chapters that are online to communicate with each other and then say, we have an event here in Casper and we're putting on coffee for veterans, and somebody from the University of Arizona Global lives in Casper. He can come and have that one-on-one community with us. And I'm trying to expand that across the country. And so I want to be able to see that work out to where we can have this community, even if you're online and not in the state or close to the school itself. And then the other goal that I have is I just want to be able to see this chapter sustain itself mm-hmm. beyond when I leave. And that goes back to that value. When that when this chapter has value for everybody, they're going to want to do it on their own. It's not going to be a handful of people. It's going to be, there's going to be too many people to fill all the slots that they have. And so they're going to be repeats. And that's what I want to see.
Because like you were saying, like, we have like many, so many opportunities for veterans and their families and people associated with them. So can you just give a couple of examples of like what we, what is offered, and so people can get some more ideas and visibility?
A better question is what is not, but at the same time, at the same time, I think every case is different. Somebody may need something different than one other person. And I think that's one of the coolest things about the community we have, is that I may not struggle with one area, but somebody else is going to have that same struggle. And they're going to be like, hey, I actually use this. Or I know I talked to somebody recently about getting their benefits restored because they were discharged from the military during the Don't Ask, Don't Tell time frame. And so a lot of those people are still trying to get their benefits back. And we can, in a roundabout way, help them find the resources that they need to be able to do that. So basically, you don't have that, going back a step, you don't have to be on benefits to be utilizing our chapter. Going through and helping them step by step, hey, go to this person, hey, go to this person, and community partners coming in from the Casper Vet Center down on Poplar, and personal and professional development with resume writing, which is something I'm hoping to do here soon, and different things like that. It's more of a, if we don't have the connection, if we don't have the resource personally, we know people that have the resources to support you in whatever, basically whatever you need, whether it's registration for your vehicle, whether it's you're struggling because emergency bills came up and you short on rent, and we can get you connected with the Volunteers of America and whatnot. So really, we're a resource pool, along with some of our own resources through like the SVA. They have the Leadership Institute, which is an extremely competitive program that SVA puts on, or the NatCon, National Convention. At that, you go down there and you better be best dressed, because any meeting you run into, any person you run into in that SVA campus could be an interview, is a potential interview for a job with businesses like Disney, Boeing, Raytheon, all these different companies. And it's, these connections are just awesome.
I think my last question for you, Caleb, you spoke to your goals with SVA the next couple of years, but what are your goals beyond college and beyond SVA? What do you want to continue to do to help veterans?
I'm working on a nonprofit. Kind of the gist of it is oral history for post 9/11 veterans. My good friend of mine is a historian, and he was telling me a while back that he was working at the World War II Museum in New Orleans, and he was going around the country interviewing World War II veterans. And I was thinking, one of the things that I want to do is give people an opportunity to tell their stories. You don't see it very often, because when you go out and you go to museums, they're telling the political side of the conflict, and you're going to see a handful of people that are have like Medal of Honors and whatnot, but you're not going to hear the story of Private so and so who was fighting in this battle. And it's line, right? Was that
the person in the front line? Was first-handed. Yeah.
And unless they did something crazy heroic, or even if they did and they didn't get a medal for it, you're not really ever going to hear that story. Mm-hmm. So we want to share that, but we also want to give an active form of building resiliency and leadership, and general just resiliency in life. And so what we're looking at right now is some sort of kind of like veteran respite care, where you can go off for a couple of days and go fishing, go hunting, whatever. You tell your oral history story. We take that down, and then you go back. You get so much time off of work to go relax and away from life just so you can relax and heal from whatever things you're doing, and then also get some resilient tips to become a resilient leader.
That's wonderful. That's great. And I think, like, I think of my grandfather who served. I don't think he was asked to share his story until he was probably 80. Mm-hmm. Bomber pilot, commander, and like to reach people when they're younger and they have a lot more to say about something and their memory's still good.
Yep.
I think that's a great idea, Caleb.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, hopefully it'll come out soon.
Well, Caleb, thank you for coming. It was great to speak with you. Thank you for all you're doing and for your service. And
yeah, thank you for your support. And I'm so excited for our future. I see both of you on a regular basis, so thank you for having me. And yeah.
No, it was great to like learn more about you and your aspirations. It was really, really good. I really appreciate it. And for those that would like to like learn more about what you're doing and your work, like, what was the best way to contact you?
So we have Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. We don't post on LinkedIn as much as I'd like to, and so I'm going to start working on that.
And definitely, if they call the UDEP Casper office, we can get them in touch with you, too.
Just come up there. We also have a space on the third floor of the Union Building on Casper College's campus. It's in room 311. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you, Caleb.
Thank you, Caleb. Thank you.
Very much. Yeah.